I'm Tracy Burns. I'm a financial advisor with UBS. This podcast is called Five Things. You're going to learn five things, then you're going to move on with your day. We are busy. You have things to do. Trust me, I get it. We all do. I am on this big mission to help women empower themselves financially, especially through divorce, transition. I have a super soft spot for female founders and entrepreneurs, one who you're going to meet today, and of course, small businesses. And then there's that pesky wage gap. I have three young adult children. Two of them are women. I have a personal interest in closing that gap. I'm hoping this podcast is a small piece of something that gets us there. All right. So before we talk about today, please listen to our previous podcasts. We've done so many fun things. How to find the perfect board seat. Five ways to financially empower yourself. Five things to do to get your financial life in order. These are some of my favorites. Five things accomplished women want girls to know right now. Mentorship, 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 by the way. Five things to talk to your kids about so they learn about money. We all know that the fact that these kids are learning about Mesopotamia in school is a complete waste of time. Talk to them about money, taxes, interest, all the things. All right, so we're coming up on this brand new year, and so many people are thinking about what the heck to do with their lives. And that is why I wanted T.H. Irwin here with us today. She is the queen of pivoting. That's what I'm going to call you, T.H. I cannot do her bio justice, but TH, much like myself, after her separation and divorce, she was 38, I was 35. Someone actually said to me, TH, God gave you a blank slate. What are you going to do? And I thought that was a really fascinating thing to say to someone who's getting divorced, when in theory, it feels like your world is falling apart, but really it's not. It's a new beginning. And you certainly took that bull by the horns. You created these community-driven events after being in corporate America. You got the hell out of that. Started this beautiful platform after COVID for divorced people, which I'll let you talk about more. And now you're pivoting again back to this in-person experiences. Women for women today, we are better together. Thank you for being here, TH.
I am thrilled to be here with you.
All right, so you have to explain to everyone first what TH stands for and when did you decide to start using that as your first name? Because it's fascinating.
So I was born in the 70s. I didn't get many choices as a child in the 70s. I mean, I had choices and I didn't have choices, right? I could be lost in the woods for hours and no one would look for me. But if I didn't show up for dinner on time, there were no excuses for that.
That's right? So true.
So I was born. And the way the story goes is my mother's mother, my grandmother was there. And my parents picked two names. One started with a T, one started with an H. And I will tell you what they are. And my grandmother says, I don't like either of those names. I'm calling her TH. And so literally from the day I was born, my name has been TH. So TH stands for Tracy Heather. I also have a middle name, which is my mother's maiden name, because she and her sister, it was only two girls, so that what was going to happen to that name. And then Irwin. So I'm a nice Jewish girl with four names. And so now I'm a nice Jewish girl with two letters. And that stumped everybody at a time where no girls had two letter names. No girls were initials. It was all boys. And so, you know, that was fun. But now it's so simple that people are like, what's your name again? Because they're not used to a simple name. Just right. Two letters. You can call me T if you want. Super simple.
But you know what? I think that almost adds to your resiliency through your whole life, because as a little kid, you had to explain your name.
And listen, I was watching the Magic Garden and they said goodbye to everybody and they never said goodbye to T.
Tell me about it.
They said goodbye to Tracy and they said goodbye to Heather and Molly and James and Peter. And I was like, what's saying goodbye to T? Because they didn't know me yet.
Not yet. Now they do. And now we do. And I'm thrilled you're here. So let's talk about this notion of pivoting. I love that you're saying we need a plan, right? Like it sounds all glorified and dreamy that I'm going to pivot and go follow my passion, but let's be realistic about this thing and let's do it properly. So you say to create a pivot plan and a checklist. And the first thing on your list is, do you have a passion for what you want to pivot to? I think that really could stop the podcast right here, right? If you don't, then what are you doing?
Yeah. And it takes time to figure out what you even like, especially as you were talking about that both of us have, you know, been divorced. And for me personally, once I knew that my marriage was over, it took 4 years to get divorced. So just so when we say you're getting a divorce, yes, it doesn't happen overnight. There's a separation period where you're like, you know, totally. Holy crap, what is going to happen? Who am I? What do I like? What colors do I like to wear? What clothing do I like to wear? It is really a time of rediscovery or discovery for the first time. Maybe you just always marched in a certain direction, never really made choices for yourself, kind of did things and wore things and dressed in a way and behaved in a way to appease others.
Yeah.
So when you go through a divorce and a separation, even in a relationship, it gives you an opportunity to figure out what you like. So you might not just say, okay, what is my passion, and figure that out overnight. But you can clip pictures. There's a lot of vision boarding. A lot of people use Pinterest for this. Or just put yourself out in the world and explore. Post-COVID, we have so many great ways that don't cost us anything. Podcasts, through TV shows, through documentaries, exploration videos, whatever is like, I think I want to know more about that, then at least follow that little yellow brick road.
Yep.
And you may turn out like, you know what? Actually, I don't really like that at all. I'm going to go and look somewhere else. So take time in your life, whether it's spurred on by a trauma or a loss or a separation, to explore new things and broaden your horizons. Then a passion will develop. I didn't know that I was passionate about in-person experiences. I didn't know I was passionate about bringing women together, bringing people together, and creating a platform for other people to be impacted in a positive way until I evolved. So it's not an overnight thing to find your passion. It could be a side hustle thing, but I would just say, always keep your eyes and ears open and learn. And then your passion will come to you, honestly.
But you do have to listen for it, right? Like, and I, as I alluded to
earlier,
have
to be open to it.
Yeah. When I got divorced, I went to a very dear friend of mine to this day, and he said, like I said, God gave you a blank slate. What are you going to do? I was shocked. There was no pity party whatsoever. And he's like, come back to me. I want to see your list. And forcing me to write down things that interested me that I never got to explore as a married woman. And this could be anything, right? This doesn't have to be a divorce. It could be you're a stay-at-home mom, or just could be you're in a job you don't like, right? Like, it could be anything.
Or you just want something more in your life. You are happy. You could be perfectly happy and be like, God, you know, I just am curious about X. My girlfriend is very happily married, 3 kids. Does all the things, and she went and started doing improv.
Amazing.
I would never have predicted that. And it helps her confidence. It helps the way she speaks with people. But for whatever reason, it has become a passion for her. So she signs up for classes and she goes to improv 3 times a week. I mean, anything is possible.
Exactly. Okay. So let's now presume we have the passion to pivot. We know what we want to do. The next thing to think about, for obvious reasons, is the financial aspect of it, right? Can you afford to do this pivoting? Does it take time away from your current job? You know, and in my world, I think about like this liquidity bucket that we always talk about, the 1 to 3 years. Do you have that money set aside? I mean, how do you work through that?
So it depends on what the pivot is.
Right.
So first of all, we pivot all the time, whether you realize it or not. You're being pulled in 10 directions that requires pivoting. But an intentional pivot is different. So if it's first based on a passion, then you have a direction for yourself. And then you have to think about, can this be a full-time thing? Is it a side hustle? Or is it something I just do in my spare time that has no financial implications for me in terms of putting money out or bringing money in? That could be volunteer work, right? But if you have something that it's kind of sparking interest in your mind, then you have to really look at your financial standing and say, okay, what can I do? So my best friend and I, Jessica, created a platform to help anyone touched by divorce. It's called the X Experts, exexperts.com, our Divorce ETC podcast. Tracy has been on there multiple times talking about how to create a budget, what to think about that you never think about in terms of your budget and planning for your financial stability. And we had money saved. And it was 7 months before COVID. And I was actually still employed, but I knew they were firing me because there was instability all over the place.
Yeah,
there.
Yep.
And I was getting stimulus checks and unemployment. Plus Jessica and I both had savings. So we self-funded this business. And that is how we were able to move forward on a passion to make a difference for other people touched by divorce in a way that we didn't have those resources. So we built it, and we could, because we knew we could pay our bills, we could take care of the kids, we could still do things we like and spend money to build business with a mission to empower and support anyone going.
So then you had the vision before it started, right? So then this was like a year in the making, right?
Well, we had the vision in 2008 when we separated from our husbands at the exact same time. We're like, nothing out there to help us. And how lucky are we to have one another? And because my divorce took a very long time and a lot of money, I was like, I literally can't help anybody in divorce. Then I went on to a career opportunity of building experiences and events for people for the local media company. And then, and again, transition time, I was able to go back to that passion idea that Jessica and I had 2008, because now we were financially stable. The timing was right with our careers. We could build this project. So your passion doesn't have to be acted on immediately.
Right.
But let it grow and make sure you have financial stability, because you need to pay your bills, need to have food on the table, you need health insurance. You don't want that stuff compromised.
100%. So that's why that liquidity bucket, that we always talk about, that 1 to 3 years, what do you need? And let's make sure it's in easy, accessible things, money markets, CDs, things like that. Keep it liquid, because you're right, stuff's going to come up. But that's a perfect segue to your third point about the timing. So the timing was right for you guys, but for a lot of people, it's hard to figure out timing, especially if you have kids, because you and I both know timing is never friggin' right with these people. They are really good at screwing up the grand plan, right?
Right, so right.
How do you know? And at some point, how do you say, screw it, I just have to take a leap?
I think a lot of it has to do with your confidence level. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it has to do with your resources, not just money. Like, do you even know what to do? Have you read the book, The Lean Startup, yet? I mean, start doing your research. Make sure that you have the knowledge as well as the financials and the capability to make a move. That's what goes into timing. But then also don't kill yourself by procrastinating, making excuses not to start. You can't start till you start. You can't change till you change.
Exactly.
It's ultimately your choice. You know, if you're delaying because you're afraid versus delaying because you don't know. And if you don't know, go on LinkedIn and find people who are experts in that. I'm telling you, they're doing webinars. They'll be happy to talk to you. There's stuff you can Google all over the place. Start building your knowledge base. That will lead you to the right timing to make a move.
You know, it's funny. So when I left media and came to wealth management, I took a massive pay cut, because the old timers say you eat what you kill in this business. And so my kids had no idea. Thank God they were big fans of mac and cheese back then, because that's what we were doing. And in hindsight, people definitely thought I was crazy, but I just knew it was the right thing to do. And so at some level, right, you just got to go with your gut, and your 100%. Instincts or whatever you want to call it, right? Which again, now brings us to your next point. Are you capable of pulling this all together by yourself? Is your instinct and gut enough, or do you need to bring in a partner? And that to me can be really challenging conversation.
It's challenging and humbling.
Yes.
I was just telling Tracy before we started recording here that I regard myself as a very honest human being, and I hate it when people lie to me, and I'm a terrible liar to others. Mm-hmm. I am a great liar to myself.
I actually love that you said that. You should just say that again, because I think that is true for so many of us.
It's everybody.
Everybody.
And if you don't think it's you, you're lying. I'm lying right now. I'm calling you out right now. You are lying. So, and it could be anything. I lie to myself about the way that I look, that I need to lose weight, that I need to do all of these things. I need to read more. I don't need to actually read more. I read all day. Another really important thing, in addition to trusting your gut, because I know that my gut has guided me very well through my life, and I discarded the angst in my gut during my marriage because I was afraid. And that's normal, and that's fine. That's why you educate yourself, because that will reduce the fear that you have, because now knowledge, it really is power. So as far as being capable of doing something yourself, that was one of the lies. If I didn't do it myself, I'd be a failure. Like, I need to do it all. I'm superwoman here. You know what? I don't want to be superwoman anymore.
Right.
It's exhausting.
It is.
It's overwhelming. It's stressful. And nobody said I had to be superwoman except me lying to myself. Right?
Right.
So I recently have relaunched my in-person experiences. And there is so much that I want to do. I'm super creative. I have a crazy monkey brain. I need someone to keep me organized, keep me on track, and get all the stuff done so I can go out and have bigger conversations with Tracy and UBS and make bigger, more impactful relationships for me as a person and for the direction of the businesses that I want to build. So I did hire a personal assistant, and I literally every day tell her how much I love her. And I only hired her 4 days ago, by the way.
But anything, right? I'm going to bring it back to financial advisory. So many people often think they could do this themselves, but why? You don't have to, right? I mean, there's a reason you hire a trainer at the gym. I know I could get out of bed and go work out, but sometimes you just need that little extra. You know, you could take care of all this stuff on your own, but your assistant is just is giving you room to do the, more of the things you love. So sometimes, like you said, I think humbling is a really great word. I am good at these things. I need someone to fill in the blanks. And I think that's also a conversation we need to be honest about, because we lie, like you said, about all that.
The only person that is telling us to do things a certain way is the little voice in our head.
I know. And it's
so
the worst.
You can challenge it. So I suggest that you write down and be completely honest with what your strengths are. Mm-hmm. And your lesser strengths can be outsourced. We are not made to be excellent at everything.
Thank God.
I included a lot of stuff, but then I'm not going to get anything done. I want to be excellent in a few things. And then let the other stuff, there are other people who are excellent in that. So Right. Come on board and be excellent with me. And
that's the truth. So let's wrap this up with a pretty red bow here. What is the goal, right? So we've gone through this. I have this passion. I'm financially in a good place to do it. I've decided if I may or may not need a partner. But now I have to make some decisions. Like, what's the point of this pivot, right?
So in my evolution in this last year, I have two things that I've started to do. The first is to make sure I have a new connection every single week. Whether it's setting up a call, meet someone new, join a webinar. If somebody lives near me who I want to meet, who's new to me, I'm going to meet them in person. I need to get dressed. I work from home. I need to get out of my house and flex those muscles. The other thing is I say yes before no. Four things that are safe, obviously, but things that are challenging my comfort level. Yes before no. Yes before no. Do you want to? Yes. Do you want to bring back a huge event series where you brought in 10,000 people when you worked for the media company? Yes. I can't say no now. I already said yes.
Right.
Do you want to rebuild an event series, Women for Women Today, that empowers, connects, inspires, and teaches hashtag every woman? Yes. But it's a lot of work. But yes, 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 yes. Yes. Just say yes before no to good opportunities that just make you nervous because you don't think you could do it. Say yes before no. So to wrap this all up, the five things that you need to know in a pivot plan we've outlined here, you know yourself better than anyone. Doing a journal and writing it down keeps you accountable, at least to yourself to start with. So I really encourage you to do that and take a hard look at yourself. Coming out of my marriage, and I know for you, Tracy, too, like we had a lot of self-care and self-work that we needed to do.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Be there. Nothing is overnight. Everything will evolve for you, but you must have your eyes and ears open to opportunities or you will miss them. And you can only blame yourself for that.
The last thing that I'm going to say is you said this, that you focus now on joy and money, not separate. And I think this is super important for women to hear because we are so joy, joy, happy, happy. We want to make sure everyone's happy, but we don't focus on the money piece.
Right.
It needs to bring you both, doesn't it? Whatever it is that you do.
Right. So that's where I am now. And this divorce platform, Jessica and I are pivoting away from, it brings us tremendous joy. It brings us no money. And so what I've done is I look at things that I spend my time on. And I've decided that if it brings me joy, it should be 10 to 15% of my life. If it brings me money, that it's intentional based on how much money I can bring in, also a small percentage of my life. But these experiences that I've come back to and refreshed bring me joy and money.
Amen.
More money than I even made in my salary working for the media company. It's all mine. I know how to do this now. I am capable of it. The timing is right. So to focus on what brings you joy and money is what is going to be your sweet spot. It will take time. Be patient with yourself. Give yourself grace. But learn, be open, and be honest with yourself, and then you'll head in the right direction, and your gut will be happy with you.
It's amazing and the perfect way to wrap this up. TH, tell everyone how to find your stuff before we go.
So if you are touched by divorce and you're looking for free, trustworthy resources, go to exexperts.com. You can also check out our Divorce ETC podcast on all podcast platforms. If you live in the North Jersey area, come to Women for Women today. The topic January 29th is permission to pivot. We have women there who wow me. This is a high connection event. You will be mentored through the night on how they have given themselves permission to pivot, how we own our superpower word, and how we uncovered our superpower word. It's about how we serve ourselves first before how we serve others in family, in jobs, and in life. Yes.
I am tracy.burns@ubs.com. If there's ever a topic you want us to address, please let us know. I will be at TH's event in January. So if you're in the area, come say hi. I can't thank you enough for sharing all of this because I think it's a perfect time. New year, new everything. Finally, bring joy and passion into your life. It's perfect. Thank you, TH.
Thank you all. And we are officially giving you permission to pivot.
Woohoo!
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review Client Relationship Summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.